At Ability Chiropractic, we believe every child deserves to grow up healthy, strong, and connected to the incredible power within their own body. From infants to adults, our doctors specialize in purposeful chiropractic care that restores balance between the brain and body, helping you and your family live and heal the way you were designed to, naturally. Families across Columbus are choosing to build lifelong wellness from the start. Discover what true health feels like at Ability Chiropractic. Schedule your visit today at abilitychiro.com.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of the Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play the Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello and welcome to the podcast, Lotus Eaters, episode 1124. I'm your host, Harry, joined today by Josh.
Hello.
And a very, very sleepy Dan.
I'm not sleepy, I'm just sick.
He might fall asleep, he might nod off during the
podcast. I'll be all right. I'm powering through. I've got my Lucozade and I've had a Lemsip.
If anything, it'll be our failure to keep him entertained if he falls asleep.
So quite right. That's our mission. If you are still conscious by the end of this podcast, we've had a good one.
Yes.
I don't know. I feel like I should try and put him to sleep now. I think that would be funny.
It does sound a bit date rapey when you put it like that. Okay, fine.
What have you put in his drink, Harry? Why is it fizzing?
Anyway, so today we're going to be talking about civil servants being useless and not knowing what their job is, how to do it, or why they're even alive. I question that often. We're also going to be talking about fake conservatives and how to spot them.
I get to whinge about someone I find annoying, yes.
You're not going to get sued for that one, are you?
No, because I'm going to be fair.
He's going to be fair, but firm.
Right.
I'm always firm.
We know, that's your name. And also, we're going to be talking about how European culture is actually worth saving. That's going to be
That is my opinion, and it is correct.
Excellent. Mm. And with that, let's just get straight into it, shall we, folks? So first, before I start my segment proper...
Nicely done, Harry.
Buy it. Buy this.
Well, look, it's still intact. It's good build quality.
It's pretty damn sturdy, if you ask me. You could...
Express delivery. You're going to throw it at you.
You could try and tear it. You could nibble at it. You could gnaw it on the corners if you're...
Buy multiple if you want.
Disgusting, like Carl does with books that you lend him where he'll start picking his teeth with them. But you wouldn't do that, would you? Because you're a civilized and well-mannered human being. If you're not, get out. We don't want you in the audience. But if you are a well-mannered human being, then buy it on the website or I'll cry. Mm. Anyway.
You don't want to make Harry cry. It's really
sad. Some of them do. Some of them do. But anyway, so let's take another look at the next installment of Everything is Miserable, Everything is Terrible, and No One Knows What They're Doing, otherwise known as The UK. And reminder to everybody that last week I did this segment on screen right now about Britain's skilled kebab visas, where we found out that skilled worker visas were being just handed out to many, many hundreds of people because they were being sponsored by kebab houses and up to 83 businesses with halal in their name. And one butcher, just by himself, one butcher... sponsored 918 visas, which also meant that if you've got a skilled worker visa, you can bring your family with you as dependents.
He's got a big family, lots of cousins.
Lots and lots of cousins, as the Turks are known to have. And so that was terrible enough, right? That was one of those things where it's like, oh God, the country is falling apart, everything's miserable, why do I even still live here? Why do I allow myself to open my eyes in the morning? Again, still asking that question.
You are making quite a good case as to why not.
Why?
You're going to give us a bit of an uplift in a minute?
No.
Right, okay, carry on.
No. So it turns out, after that, that shock of all shocks, surprise, surprise, the Home Office don't actually know how these work.
That's sort of their job, isn't it? To know how things work. That's the only reason that there is a civil service, is that their entire raison d'etre is that they know how the government works because they specialise in
or
a part of it.
Or at the very least, they know how the specialist subject of their department works.
That's what I mean, yeah.
Yeah, like if you're in the Home Office, you'd expect to know how a skilled visa works. So is it any surprise that people can just get sponsored by anybody? A butcher who has 918 separate other butchers in their family that desperately need to come over here and fill up the gaps in halal butchering that we have such an urgent market need for. Dan, does this sound like reasonable economics
to you? Well, I'm not cutting across the conclusion of your segment, but it goes back to the whole, the purpose of a system is what it does. So I'm not really surprised that the Home Office doesn't understand what's going on, because I mean, the purpose of this system is to get as many Islamics into the country as possible.
Is rubber stamp them as fast as possible, yeah.
There's also the
you could say that there's a lot of this kind of motion going on at the Home Office,
and
24/7.
Do you remember there was a bit where they tried to blame the immigration on Putin as if he was sending KGB officers into the Home Office to stamp visas all day long?
Make that again?
I did.
you were doing it first.
Yeah.
Mine was much stronger.
I was just going to say that The idea that they're just incompetent, like you go to a doctor and then you mention, oh, my lungs have been hurting, and they're like, you're what? Lungs? I've never heard of these before.
Have you tried breathing more?
Well, they wouldn't even get to that point. They don't even understand how they work, so...
Yeah, so let's dig a little bit deeper into this, because this was a Financial Times article, and it's taken from this report by the National Audit Office, who say that the Home Office cannot say what the immigration mechanism of skilled worker visas is contributing to the economy.
This is like a Yesminster skit, isn't it? It's like our civil servants were trained to know these sorts of things, don't actually know it, even though that's...
Well, and remember, the whole reason we had the Boris wave in the first place, according to Dominic Cummings, was a quote that he cited as being one of Boris's, which was, open the floodgates, I want the FT to like me. So,
yeah,
so does right. When you were reading the FT, did you discover that they do in fact now like Boris Johnson, and therefore importing 3 million extra people above the already?
Well, I believe the people they should be liking is the Migration Advisory Committee, given that on that trigonometry interview that Boris Johnson just did, he actually just blamed everything on them, despite the fact that as Prime Minister he could have just overruled whatever they suggested to him.
Whenever he wanted, yes.
Whenever he wanted.
With his little 80-seat majority, he could have done any damn thing he pleased.
And it turns out what he wanted was to flood the country with foreigners.
Oh, right.
So okay. He got exactly what he wanted. Although, if you actually knew anything about Boris Johnson's previously stated positions before becoming Prime Minister, that's not a surprise.
Yeah, he's been pretty open about it the whole time.
He wanted an illegal immigrant amnesty. And
probably, mayor of London, wasn't it?
Yeah, probably still as well. Mayor of London, and was talking about it at the same time as Brexit as well.
Mm-hmm.
So he probably still does. Anyway, so what this has found is that the UK government officials do not fully understand how the main route for workers to come to Britain is being used or what it's contributing to the economy. The Home Office did not conduct an impact assessment before widening the skilled worker visa route to include entry-level care jobs in 2022, and that was included in the report that the National Audit Office did.
It's also worth mentioning as well, a lot of these entry-level care jobs, they're taking jobs from teenage girls, basically.
Yes.
That's and then normally coming in, who would have been doing that sort of
thing. And then abusing the people that they care.
Yeah, well, there are lots
of
cases.
Which is a scandal that's ongoing.
Seen lots of videos of Africans being very cruel to our elderly, which is really infuriating.
So that's how it shows up in where I am, because where I'm it's a reasonably nice area, and it, you know, it doesn't have an awful lot of the diversity. Mm. But where I do see it is every time you see a special person or an old person being walked around the park, they're always flanked by an African of some description.
Yeah, it's the same in my area as well. Again, lovely little Tudor town. Nobody until about maybe 5 years ago was particularly diverse, except for an Indian corner shop that was in the town. Then all of a sudden, yep, Africans parading about all of the old people whenever they're going to the local shop. That's how they get in. That's how they get in. And the Home Office, they didn't figure out what would happen before they allowed that in the first place. So good one there.
Hang on a minute. Wasn't the issue that we used to have lots of care workers and then Boris fired 40,000 of them or something because they wouldn't have the you-know-what in the arm?
I don't know if that has any connection to this, Dan.
But there's...
It would stand to reason.
There's been a certain vacancy of a certain number of people that happen to be of a certain demographic that we share.
Yes.
that were more likely to have that position and subsequently were fired for it.
Well, he created 40,000 vacancies of an unskilled job that could then be filled conveniently by his Boris wave.
Yes. I mean, in fact, my missus at the time during all of these events was working in a care job, and she quit. Because she didn't want that either.
Yes.
Because she had some worries about, I don't know if I should say, blood clots, which may or may not have anything to do with the other thing that we are referring to. Mm. Yes. So the decision was one of the key factors driving a surge in net immigration to the UK, with health and care accounting for 158,300 of 509,100 applications for skilled worker visas in 2023. High take-up of that route, which opened in 2020 when Brexit ended free movement within the UK. Thank you again, Boris. Great job. You did get Brexit done, didn't you? Good job. Has helped businesses recruit and boosted tax revenues, according to the Financial Times. Boosted tax revenues, if you say so. If you say so. Has also led to more people staying permanently in the UK, more workers bringing family, and more than 5,000 people who came on skilled worker visas applying for asylum in 2024. So you came on a skilled worker visa, but also, you're a refugee and you need asylum.
I'm a skilled refugee. That's basically what they're saying there. This is my daily dose of depression.
That's very strange. Also, okay, as well, if you boost tax revenues, that's fantastic, but then they bring all of their dependents with them, who inevitably become a massive burden on the system, and then most of the money that they may or may not make will not go back into the local economy, because as we know from this, over £9 billion leaves the British economy each year due to remittances, migrants sending it back home, because this is not their home. This is a economic zone that they work in and leech money off of us.
Most countries that aren't lame actually have very strong limits on that very thing if they have any migration to their country at all.
Guess we're lame.
We are, yeah.
We're very lame. But going back to the article, so they also point out that nor did the Home Office, which leads government immigration policy, fully assess the consequences for different sectors before tightening the rules again in spring 2024, introducing a ban on care workers bringing family and higher salary thresholds for other skilled workers. Now, obviously, I would say that tightening the rules is always a good thing, but the fact that before doing the change in 2022 and now doing the change in 2024, they didn't actually look into how any of this would work and what the consequences would be, suggests to me that the Home Office is a department run by headless chickens who have no idea what they're ever doing and just do things because they probably feel that they have to. That's a great sign.
I mean, given that you have just clearly articulated what the impact has been of all of this and you're able to do it off the top of your head, maybe they did do an impact assessment and then they looked at it and thought, yeah, probably better best bluff it that we just haven't done one and they binned it.
And that would be some kind of offence to hide that from an audit office, though, wouldn't it?
I don't know.
If that was the truth, and that's just speculation on your part there. But, I mean, neither one of them is good, though, is it?
No.
Either they've no idea what they're doing and just do things for the sake of it, or they do know what they're doing and they know that it's bad for the country and they do it anyway.
I think it's that one.
I think it can be both.
It could be both, yes. Here's another fun part. The Whitehall Department does not fully understand blah, 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 adding that it failed to monitor what happened to people when their visas expired.
Well, they go on benefits.
They claim asylum.
Yes. Illegally, and they claim asylum. But it's good to know that they're really very, very astute in their workings here. As well as confirming the intention to cut overall immigration, government ministers have pledged to ensure high-tech sectors, seen as crucial to economic growth, will be able to recruit skilled workers from overseas. Since the rules were tightened last year, applications for skilled worker visas have already halved, totaling just 252,700 in 2024. That's still about 252,700 too many by my counting, but oh well. The rule changes are not the only reason the number of skilled workers has fallen so sharply since 2023. Home Office is also scrutinising applications more closely, revoking the licence to sponsor visas of almost 1,500 employers in 2024, and rejecting a fifth of applications. By contrast, in 2021 it approved 99%. So it really was just the rubber stamping method.
I would like to add as well that by getting people on, even if they are actually high-skilled people that are going to fill a vacancy that contributes to the economy, these very rare immigrants, even those are taking jobs from people that are natives, right? In that ordinarily, in normal times, they would train
pressing ways,
they would ways. Train someone up. They might even sponsor their education domestically to get a skilled worker if there is a deficit. It makes a company reinvest in the country that they're based in, which is what you want. That's the ideal scenario, where they're reinvesting in the human capital, if you will, of your country. But this is just completely outsourcing it, and meaning that you have a terminally unemployed nation.
And speaking of the terminally unemployed, would it surprise you if there are more than 1 million foreigners claiming benefits, which is households with at least one foreign national claimant receiving more than £7.5 billion in universal credit in the year 2023?
No, it would surprise me if it was any less than that. In fact, I think 1 million is optimistic.
Isn't there 23.3 million non-ethnic Brits in the UK? So that's what, 1 in 23? At least that we know of.
It's higher. It's going to be higher.
Well, here's a bit of a fun one. So in terms of overall numbers of 200 nationalities who are claiming benefits, Poland accounted for the largest number of pure claimants at 89,000. But if you take it and make it per capita, if you take the data, narrow it down to per capita, you can find which populations are most likely to be claiming benefits. And notice anything about all of these?
Yes.
They're sandy.
Slovakia is a bit of an odd one out.
Yeah, Slovakia is the odd man out, but the rest of them all seem to be sub-Saharan, North African, Middle Eastern.
It's the cause of all of our problems, immigration-wise, anyway.
In fact, in the Congo, well, actually, if you are Congolese in Britain, it's basically a coin flip to see if you're on benefits or not, because 445 out of 1,000 of them is on benefits.
Let's also point out the fact that the Congo is the sexual assault capital of the world, and also
much enrichment to be taken from this place.
It's also consistently one of the lowest places on earth for quality of education.
Afghanistan's not known for
humanity.
Afghanistan's not known for any kind of like problem with violence against women, is it?
No.
Nor is Iraq, Syria,
Somalia.
Yeah.
Iran, sometimes.
I mean,
to be fair,
Manchester Canal Street that should be worried about the Iranians.
I mean, now there are actually some legitimate Syrian refugees, because now that the West has backed the takeover there and it succeeded,
murdering Christians
en masse. So actually, that's probably the only. But I bet none of those are the Christian Syrians.
Well, but these figures will have been from well before.
Yeah,
well before that. I think at latest these figures would be from 2023. So that's good to know. How does our government respond? How do we deal with stuff like this? Well, you know, we don't get actual solutions. Although, to be fair, I will say, Keir Starmer deciding to cut back on massive amounts of bureaucracy, slash benefits by billions of pounds each year, would have been nice if the Tories had done that.
Keir Starmer is the best party leader in British politics at the minute. At least, out of the people that are in Parliament.
Yes, you're right, and that's bad.
Yes, that's terrible. That's not saying that he's a good person. We still remember the Southport protests. We still remember the response to that. We still know the winter fuel tax allowance, and we also know everything to do with the farmers. But in terms of actually doing that thing that Tories always say that they did, which was cut back on the state, cut back on excess bureaucracy and regulation, benefit claimants and everything else, because he is a Blairite and the state is inherently Blairite, he can just get away with anything. They will bow to him and do what he wants. And so if he says, hold up, this country's about to explode and we need white boys to die in our wars if we're going to go into Ukraine, okay, we will do some things that make us look popular for a little bit. But we're still getting plenty of propaganda about all of this enrichment that we're getting around here. People who are not contributing to the economy, actively taking away from the economy, sending our money away into other economies, and then enriching us further with their cultural presence. You start to get more and more things like this. A Netflix series, Adolescence, not watched it, not planning on it. They say...
You should watch it, Harry, because the rest of us don't want to. Somebody needs to.
I don't want to, Dan. you can watch.
No, I'm not bloody
Harry did
it.
Read those James O'Brien books, so
I still
I
need
like
to do part three of that, because I did read that book. I've just not got round to recording that yet because I don't feel like depressing you and Carl.
But I mean, I quite enjoy them. They're wonderful.
Well, this is the most miserable, darkest one. So you'll probably enjoy it the most.
I enjoy that. Yeah.
But this is a great example of a thing you were just talking about. Is they're now gearing up for, you know, getting the white boys to die in their wars again, despite the fact they've spent whatever it is 20, 30 plus years absolutely shitting on the white boys at every possible opportunity. And clearly Netflix haven't got the memo, because they're producing another example of, yes, the London Knife Crime epidemic
is that your result
of pasty.
It's done by lots of scholars and academics, isn't it, in London?
Yeah. No, I think the London Knife Crime Academic is his cousin, isn't it? That's your new pseudonym. So they say that they want their show, which is about knife crime, young white boy killing one of his classmates, a girl, due to the influence of toxic masculinity and misogynist
They're making Andrew Tate, are they?
Yeah, Andrew Tate. Andrew Tate has been explicitly named
King of the incels.
King of the incels. Yeah, that's what he's most known for, right?
So was it drill rap music come up at all?
I would doubt it. I doubt Mizzy is going to be making a special guest appearance in this. So they want it to be shown in Parliament, so it causes discussion and makes change. Basically, like everything else that they want to do, they want it to be a signal to censor the internet more and more and more, because that's all we like doing in this country. So what they've said is that it was Stephen Graham, this chap here, who's appeared in a lot of stuff, and writer Jack Thorne are the co-creators and co-writers of this show, and they say it follows the Miller family, lives blown apart when a 13-year-old boy is arrested for killing a female classmate. Jamie, the character, has been polluted by ideas that he's heard online that make sense to him, that have a logic that's attractive to him, that answer the questions as to his loneliness and isolation that lead him to make very bad choices. We have to understand the things he's been consuming, and that means especially looking at the internet, the manosphere, and incel culture. Hello, Stephen.
So did Jamie watch one of your segments, Harry?
He must have done. He must have done. Or one of Connor's. Graham said that he was inspired to make the show after seeing two separate reports of boys stabbing girls to death. Would you like to see what one of those reports was?
I think I know which one it is.
Yeah, so there's this article from My London which actually gives details of one of the incidents that inspired it.
Croydon. That's...
Horrific murder of a Croydon schoolgirl, and he cited the tragic death of schoolgirl Elian Andam, almost sounds like Mandem, who was killed by Hassan Sentamu after she got off a bus outside the Whitgift Centre on her way to Old Palace of John Whitgift School in Croydon on September 27th, 2023. Now, Hassan...
Maybe Hassan looks exactly like pasty little Jamie here.
No.
Oh, right. Oh, okay. Well, that's a shock, isn't it?
No.
When there is a stabbing in London, if I were a betting man...
Yes.
He is of the demographic, to be fair, most likely to watch Andrew Tate, so...
That's
perhaps
true.
There is some truth to it. So Sentamu has recently been found guilty of her murder in January and was sentenced to a minimum of 23 years in prison at the Old Bailey just this Thursday past. So here's the murderer, the guy who killed another foreigner. So this is... just an example of foreign violence being imported into Croydon for some reason, to whose benefit, who knows? The Home Office certainly don't know.
18-year-old man stabbing a 13-year-old girl.
15, sorry. And it was back in 2023, so he may have been 16.
So refresh my memory, Harry. I've got that picture in my mind.
Yep.
What does the Netflix version of that look like?
It looks like this.
It's amazing how when they're basing it on a black person, mysteriously that person becomes white. But when it's a white person that's done something significant and noteworthy, they become black.
It's amazing.
I need a word for this Netflixing, whatever it is.
Race swapping.
Casting.
Yeah.
And it's what you're describing there is similar to A Time to Kill as well, the Samuel L. Jackson film where the black man's daughter...
It was years before I realised that they'd swapped that as well.
Is raped and murdered by a couple of white boys... And then when you look into the incident that actually inspired it, well, actually, it was
the direct opposite.
Yeah, it was the direct opposite of that, and it's a horrifying story. But for some reason, you've got to race swap them for purely socioeconomic reasons.
Black people can't do anything wrong is why.
which is why the Home Office has to let as many Congolese in as possible so that they can enrich our culture with their
bladed articles
and rapes. Yes, anyway, that's my segment, and hopefully yours won't be quite so depressing. I'll go through some Rumble rants now. The Engaged Few. Who would have thought Harry was such a Ramones fan? Somebody put something in my drink reference. Engaged Few again. Are there any of the skilled worker visas being used to bring in vape shop cashiers? Probably.
It's a very difficult job. Very skilled.
It is. You really do need a lot of skill. Years to do that. Ramshackle Otter. Had depression 2 years ago. Had a phone appointment. Doctor kept asking me if I felt tearful. I was crying. I kept saying yes. Eventually she spelled it out. No. Tearful, cheerful. Oh, where would we be without them? Where would we be without them? God, let's go on to your segment, Chuck. Please don't kill us.
I'm just reeling from the... It's like, I go to the doctor with depression. Are you cheerful? No, that's the opposite.
While you're weeping, while you're crying your eyes out as well. Good God.
Okay, well... I'm going to be talking about a fake conservative, and just the one, because they get on my nerves a lot, and I've seen them a lot, and they get banded around and do the media circus, and I find it really irritating. And it's just one example of how people can use things like the culture war and things that are legitimate concerns to the native population and piggyback on it to make a career for themselves. But in an entirely unrelated note, we have a magazine.
Oh, this is very good.
It is a very good magazine, and if you want to be in the exclusive club of Islander magazine owners, I believe I was told there's only 1,000 copies left, and so we're almost sold out. So actually, you need to kind of hurry up. But
do you want to be a loser? Do you want to wake up at the end of the week and realize you've not got Islander?
Look at how beautiful it is. It's a beautiful magazine. And yes, Rory's done a great job with the graphics. And also there's merch on the website as well if you want to get yourself a t-shirt or a mug if you're not into reading. And
like Josh?
Yeah, I don't like reading. Who cares? Who cares about words, eh? The written word.
Get yourself a mug.
But if you care about words, this is your best way to spend your money. But anyway, with that out of the way...
wow.
Stop looking at the merch store. I'm done now.
Okay, all right, sorry.
Yes. So the lady I'm talking about is this one, this lady here. And here she is talking to Jacob Rees-Mogg on GB News. GB News love inviting her on. And she's often referred to as Britain's strictest head teacher. And this isn't a self-appointed title. This was the title of, I think it was a 2022 ITV series, which looked at her school that she was a head of. And we're going to be looking at all of the different things that she's done in her school. And some of it's good, some of it's bad.
I don't know if I'd be proud of that, just being strict by itself.
I was about to...
It's not a good thing. You want to be the best head teacher. Mm-hmm. And strictness can actually be counterproductive to encouraging students to learn.
I was going to say exactly that. Great minds, Harry.
There we go.
But yes, she gets invited on to lots of things, and we're going to... eventually get to some of them, but I wanted to, you know, go to her profile here. Britain's strictest headmistress, she calls herself that, but I think that's just a good marketing term if you want to appear in the media. It gives the media a reason to talk to you. Of Michaela School, which we're going to be talking about as well. Small C conservative values, here we go, that's how she gets a foot in the door. Truth, race, and personal responsibility. I mean, I'm okay with the truth and personal responsibility part.
What does race mean in isolation like that?
I don't know. It seems unusual. But you will see...
It's his own sentence.
What she actually
which
is.
One?
Mm. Yeah, that's a very good snapshot of her school because it's in London, I believe.
So it's going to be very mixed and diverse.
It is, yes. It's,
well, maybe
it's like a...
This is useful then. Mm-hmm.
It is. We'll be talking about this, right. Don't worry. So we need to go to her early life. Because she was born in Auckland, New Zealand. She is the daughter of Frank Birbal-Singh, an Indo-Guyanese man, and his wife and her mother is from Jamaica. She mostly grew up in Toronto and Canada and spent periods in Nigeria and France and then eventually studied in Oxford. And she also was a member of the Socialist Workers' Party, which is interesting.
Who's living Marxism by? I'm curious now.
Have a look.
Who wrote this? The Journal of
Revolutionary Communist Party. Yeah. So she has no claim to being British, either culturally or ethnically, because obviously she's not spent much time here. She has no heritage here.
Spent most of her life in Canada.
Here are pictures of the school. You can see that it is a very new school. It is one of the UK with a Y schools, isn't it? It's very diverse. So I'm going to read a little bit about this school, because you start to get a picture of this person who's being invited on the right-wing media circuit.
Suella Braverman was the first chair of governors there.
Yes, interesting that she was there when it was founded. And also, Michael Gove, this is from Wikipedia, I think it's down the bottom here. The school has been described as a beneficiary of former UK Education Secretary Michael Gove's support, both financially and bureaucratically. And also, in September of 2019, the school was cited by Education Secretary Gavin Williamson, remember, Conservative government at this point, another Conservative, in the same party as the other two, and as an example of a free school in a tough area that achieved excellent results. So my pet theory is that this school is given as much support as humanly possible, because all of these senior Conservative politicians have skin in the game. If the school does badly, it reflects badly on their education policy, on their competence as, you know,
also,
government officials.
It's a blueprint for the future.
It is exactly that. It's a rough area in a diverse part of London. You don't read between the lines in that statement. And they're getting good results. And of course, there is the fact that if you've got a very specific school with a very specific ethos, maybe it selects for the kind of people that are going to do well. It could necessarily be, you know, you get a good grammar school with a high entry requirement, you get a higher standard of student that's more enthusiastic to be there in the first place. It's just, it's possible. That's all I'm saying. But I want to point out just how dystopian this is. And this all has a purpose. I'm not just having a go at the school. And some of it I do approve of. I do approve of them trying very hard to give them a good education, and also trying to not let them get away and be slack with bad behaviour. That stuff is great. So I want to be a bit nuanced. I'm not just having a go. But I'm going to read from this. The school emphasises discipline and has a traditional style of teaching. That's fine. There is a zero tolerance policy regarding poor behaviour. That's good. Fine. A boot camp week at the start of the year teaches the new year 7 pupils the rules and consequences of breaking them. Perfectly fine. There is a strict uniform code and no group work. Well, this sounds good to me so far. This sounds okay. But then it starts going
Group work has positives and negatives.
Sometimes. Normally it was just me doing all the work, so I didn't get in trouble, and then other people flying on my coattails.
I was thinking, well, it can help with group decision making and teamwork. But then again, you are right. Most of the time it would be like, oh, I guess I'll do everything then.
Mm-hmm. And then it says, children sit in rows and learn by rote and walk in single file between classrooms. So now it's starting to sound a bit like a prison.
Sounds a bit Chinese.
It does, doesn't it? A bit Singaporean, perhaps. Staff at the school tend to reject most of the accepted wisdoms of the 21st century.
Fair enough.
Like that bit.
The only problem is they've rejected the wrong ones. Pupils must be silent in school corridors and are forbidden to gather in groups larger than 4. This sounds like some sort of curfew or like a prison yard. This, you're basically preventing the children
from having
a childhood.
Groups larger than 4 in the corridors or on all of the school grounds?
Forbidden to gather in groups of larger than 4, I guess. I suppose in general.
It doesn't specify in school corridors there. So just in general, sorry, you're not allowed more than 4 friends at a time.
Well, you've got a friend group of 5.
They're going to have to stand on their own.
You're going to have to single that one out. You know the one.
They've got to be 2 metres away. School policies have been described as neo-strict because it combines the use of punishments with rewards. Merit points are given for good behaviour and achievement. That's fine, I suppose.
We had merit points in my school.
Yeah, same here. And then it carries on to... The lunchtime one is the one that I'm most offended by. Lunchtime consists of a pescatarian meal, and it doesn't serve beef or pork.
Oh, I wonder why.
Because of Indians and Muslims. And remember, this is someone who's supposedly going out of a way to enforce British values on them. This obviously British one.
Why not at least some chicken then?
I know, yeah. It has to be fish, apparently. Chicken's off the table.
Well, look at the next week. Pupils sit at a table of 6. Well, just a minute ago, it was 4.
I know, yeah. Well, they're allowed an extra two people. One of them is a teacher or guest, though, so it's actually five. And take responsibility for serving each other. They lay the table together. One pours water, another brings in and serves the food. So it's basically courting them to be like waiters and waitresses.
This feels like surf class.
It does. Another serves
dessert. I don't know. I think on balance, I'm still on board. Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's certainly worse things, but it just seems a little bit arbitrary.
Yeah, it feels arbitrary, it feels strange, and the Englishman in me just looks at this and says, as long as they're not breaking the rules, let the children play how they want at break time.
This is exactly the sentiment I was going to get at, it's very un-English.
But it isn't in England. Yeah. This school is in London.
That's true. It is its own principality.
Given the breakup of the population there, you have mentioned Singapore. I can imagine where you're going to be taking this next. Mm-hmm. I believe that we might have been taking some lessons from Singapore's former premier.
Yes. Mm. How did you know?
It's in the document right there.
Oh, well, don't read my notes. Cheat. To clear the table following the meal. I wonder how they decide those two. That's a rough... end of the stick. Teachers eat with their students and the tables discuss what the children have learned that day or a topic of the day, such as the most inspirational person they have learned about in their history classes. So they don't have any opportunity to actually be children and have fun and talk to each other. They've always got adult supervision at all times. After eating, the pupils spend 5 minutes thanking someone, followed by two claps from the rest of the school. This is like 1984 for dinner ladies.
What age becoming increasingly Soviet? What happens to the first people to stop clapping?
They don't get pudding.
What age group does this go up to in this school?
18.
It's a secondary school, yeah.
Right, because there's got to be at least some 16 and 17 year olds who are watching Zoom the Historian, and if they all sit around at dinner time to discuss the most inspirational historical figure they've been learning about.
So, children, who's your favourite philosopher? No, you don't answer. Don't answer that.
Oh, dear. Yeah,
teacher, I've got a question about Lebensraum.
It also says children are not allowed to bring food or drink to school, which includes snacks and chewing gum. Chewing gum, I can understand. Children make a mess with chewing gum. But they're not allowed to bring their own food or drink. So you bring a bottle of water with you. You're not allowed that. The school has to provide everything for you. You must be subservient to the school.
So you're not allowed to bring your own food or drink, but so that means that explicitly, unless you are eligible for free school meals, the school is making profit off of you by charging you for food.
Well, they're not charged. £2.50. That was how much I paid almost 17 years ago when I was in school, so it's obviously subsidised.
I don't care. What I did was bring in a sandwich.
I mostly did that too.
A sandwich, a packet of crisps, and a drink of some kind.
Maybe a chocolate bar.
Maybe a chocolate bar if I was...
I had the same lunch, yes.
You're not making
did
the case to me.
Did your school also have the kid who would come in with a backpack full of Pepsi, who would sell it off?
It's always me.
And that's always
can.
On.
And
yeah.
The first merchant.
I've got to say, on balance, because... In that was an entrepreneurial spirit. London, one of them would be dealing smack out of their backpack if you let them bring their own food in. There'll be little baggies coming out.
This isn't Scotland. Smack is not food.
All I'm saying is, Josh, is you've not made the case. I'm still on balance pro this school.
Well, you'll change your mind eventually.
Right, okay.
But would you want your own daughters going there?
Well, yeah, but I live in England, not London.
No, fair.
So... I saw this. This is from Lee Kuan Yew of Singapore. We have to lock up people without trial, whether they are communists, whether they are language chauvinists, whether they are religious extremists. If you don't do that, the country would be in ruins. Why did he take such a strict line? Well, it was because there were three competing ethnicities in Singapore, and he had to be strict.
Who all hated each other.
Yes.
Is that why Singapore went like that?
Yes.
Yeah.
I didn't know the
literally story. Because it was multi-ethnic and Lee Kuan Yew said there's only one way to solve this.
And this person here rightly points out, as Europe diversifies, its police state will grow. And part of the reason I think that this school has been so successful is it's ruling over a Tower of Babel, basically, isn't it? A thousand cultures with an iron fist. And that's why. Whereas the English sensibility and why I was sort of reflexively disgusted as was Harry, is that it's not English. It's not an English way of doing things. It's not part of our culture.
But it's not in England. It's in London. And, you know, people...
Yes, but it's being used as a model to say, this is great, get this everywhere. That's why
need to come to Surrey or Hampshire, for example.
I will also say, if there's one thing I wouldn't want Michael Gove near, it's a school, but that's neither here nor there.
Well, only if you've heard those rumours too, have you?
I think we all have.
And I was talking to Cunley Druckmann about this.
By the way, I don't mean that. Don't sue me. I don't mean it.
And he's saying, by the way, Josh, since Singapore is actually less diverse than the UK, it could actually afford to be less strict about these things and hold more of the well, you get the idea, right? But he's basically saying that now Singapore's actually more mono-ethnic than the UK, they can afford to be less strict, famously strict Singapore, than we are, which is interesting, isn't it? So this strictness is actually just the new form of ruling your minority kingdom. It's a pilot study. Why do you think all the senior Tories are involved? It's because it's a means of... figuring out how you're going to govern your new disunited rabble, I suppose.
Multi-ethnic state.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then I saw this, and this is her on Spiked. For multiculturalism to work, we all need to make sacrifices. No, we don't.
Well, I guess in that case, I don't want multiculturalism to work because I never wanted it here in the first place.
I don't wholeheartedly agree.
Why should we Englishmen sacrifice our own liberties that we fought for centuries just for the sake of some batshit insane experiment that's never worked anywhere it's been tried?
Port to port. Mm-hmm.
If someone came into my house and I said, would it be all right if you took your shoes off? And they said, no, I want to keep my shoes on. I'd be like, well, okay, I want you out of my house then. It's as simple as that. Yeah. If you don't respect the rules of the house, you leave. You get kicked out. That's the way it works the world over, in our homes, used to be our country as well. That is the norm. That is normal. That is the default human experience. And the expectation that we should have to make sacrifices is the aberration and a moral abomination. At my school, we don't eat meat or allow Muslim children to pray separately. We need to share in the overall British experience. That's the reason,
not a British experience. What's British about any of that?
None. The reason she doesn't allow Muslim children to pray separately is because it's not inclusive. So it's not, there's no baseness to it. It's not like we're not having any of that nonsense in here. It's more, well, if you go off and pray separately, that makes you divided from the rest of the school, and that will be bad because everything has to be about keeping these disparate groups together.
The entire
way in which the school is structured is
they don't let the ginger kids in on the Muslim prayers, do they?
They better not.
That'd be like honey to a fly, that would.
Oh no. Well, if there's any kids white enough to be ginger in school.
But loads of the Muslim parents tried to sue the school and I think were defeated in the end because of it. But this was picked up on by Cunley Drukpa, and this was, I thought, quite excellent because I'd actually included some of these pictures in my segment before I spotted it.
God, that British made this. Values hand. Fuck off.
Yeah, just all of the things that we've had to sacrifice. Like, we've got the multi-faith prayer room, obviously, for Muslims. Look at it.
Yeah.
The school uniform, I don't have any gripes with. The fact you've got to make them eat vegetables is annoying. Humanity Close, just renaming streets. The CCTV state, all of the authoritarianism.
The police officer waiting to throw John Stuart Mill in your face. Mm-hmm. It's all in here, sonny.
But yeah, it's all nonsense, isn't it? We shouldn't have to make sacrifices. And the fact that people like Jacob Rees-Mogg, who you'd think would have a little bit more of a spirited defence of Englishness.
He said many times he doesn't care about demographic change in this country.
That's true.
And I believe him.
Mm. But you'd at least think a man who embodies the Platonic ideal of an aristocrat would at least have something. But no, apparently not. And she also... this comes from this article. I've gone on long enough, so I'm not going to read from this. But it's basically even worse in the article than it is in the byline that they used to advertise it. It says, our position at school is that for multiculturalism to work, we all need to make various sacrifices. We have Christians, Muslims, Hindus, Buddhists, Jehovah's Witnesses. We've got kids from a whole variety of different backgrounds, black and white. And in order for all of us to get along, we can't say that we want what we want goes. We have one group dominate. I can't read for some reason. Apparently, I didn't go to this school. What we need to do is share in the overall British experience. Well, the overall British experience is being ethnically British, not being any of those religions other than Christian.
Well, those poor white kids aren't getting a British experience, are they?
No, they're not.
They're in the land of their ancestors in what's supposed to be its capital city, and they're getting whatever this is.
Some multi-culti nonsense. And unsurprisingly...
All right, calm down there, Mike Graham.
Going to be on Talk TV in no time.
One day.
She wrote this article 2 days ago now, actually. In defence of Ofsted's Hamid Patel. This is the guy. This is not a CIA most wanted list. This is, I believe...
He's Ofsted chair now.
Ofsted chair. And she does make out an important point that the position of Ofsted chair is in reality a largely ceremonial role.
Which makes it all the more interesting that as a symbol for such a ceremonial role that they would choose this man.
Yeah, and I think that she's complaining about all of the people complaining about his appointment. But what it suggests is that Islam just has another foothold to further impose itself on people who are either indifferent to it or actively oppose it.
Seen him before. Wasn't he in the opening scene of Team America World Police?
I think so, yeah.
So what's this line that you've got highlighted here? Just as I have prohibited prayer in my secular school, Hamid Patel has upheld the traditions of his Islamic schools, encouraging girls to wear the hijab.
Yes.
So where is the Britishness in any of this? Where's the...
He's encouraging women to wear hijabs. That must make him British.
That must make him conservative.
Ironically,
conservatives will adopt that line within a few years.
Well, they are spineless cowards. So
this isn't in the interest of the native British people in any sense of the word. And it's even being picked up in America. Here they are talking about meet the strictest headmistress in Britain. Here they are writing a puff piece about it. Blah, 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 blah.
Thomas Chatterton Williams.
Here she is on LBC talking to Nick Ferrari. Who actually opposed some of the things she was saying.
You can't say the bus was late, that's why I'm late. What if the bus was late?
Well, you've
I guess it's 4 lashings for me.
And here's Peter Boghossian, known accused liberal. We need more educators like her. And there are loads of people replying, leftists mainly, saying... This is the crux of all conservatives. They believe you should be held responsible at all times for things completely out of your control, which is not representative of conservatives at all. They think that being conservative just means being mean and strict because that's how she presents it. But that's not true at all. As we can see, we are more conservative than she is. And we, well, other than maybe Dan, mostly disagree with the means that...
Well, I wouldn't want to send my kids here, but then I don't live in London.
Not yet.
But imagine you did live in London.
Imagine London is a gigantic festering...
Well, I did live in London for 20 years, and as soon as I had kids, I was like, right, I'm not raising them here.
That's
again,
fair enough.
But it's a tumour, and the cancer will spread.
Yes, it is.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But you can also go too far in the other direction, and The Guardian was whinging about her as well, saying the dogma of Britain's strictest headmistress is upon as old as time. Gentle parenting produces happier kids. So there's
to be fair,
two...
that picture does look very relaxing.
Yeah, that does look like
you could
awesome
get your song. If you could get your baby to do that, you've done something right.
I don't think she'd stay still.
The problem here is but gentle parenting. It's just like, it's okay. You're just getting a little bit angry. You'll get it out of your system once you've smashed up our bookcase. Is that's what I imagine when I hear gentle parenting. And also, is the aim to produce happier kids or is it to produce healthier kids? Because, you know, eating your vegetables rather than eating a tub of ice cream would make a child less happy, but it is the right thing to do, right?
Yes.
And it goes too far in the opposite direction. And so I just wanted to draw attention to this because not only does it show some of the tools in the toolkit of the elites that they're going to use on their new... multicultural dominion, I suppose, but also the kinds of people who are spreading these ideas, and they get the rounds in the media, despite the fact that were people to be more knowledgeable about their actual beliefs and what they're pushing for, there's no way anyone would remotely consider them right-wing or conservative in any sense of the word.
Okay, we've got 2 Rumble rants. Would you like to read them?
Sure. The engaged few. Living Marxism is if anything lives for very long under Marxism.
Well,
that's true. and the age for you again. They're not describing a school, you're describing the CECOT prison in El Salvador. It does sound a bit simple, yep, doesn't it?
So in this segment, I've got a very simple goal. I'm going to try and make the case that Europe is actually worth saving, that it has achieved some quite remarkable things.
That's a pretty easy case to make, I would
I don't think it's going to be enormously challenging, but I'm going to give it a go all the same.
It's nice to have some remoralisation.
This was put in my head, because we tend to do fairly black-pilly segments all the time. Mm-hmm. And I saw a clip on the interweb last night that was so inspiring that I thought I had to build something around it. So basically, the setup here, and then I'll follow on with the rest of my argument, is a chance encounter in the Rome airport. For whatever reason, the Rome airport has a piano just sort of lying around. So if you're any good at the piano, you can rock up and play a bit for people passing by. And on this occasion, a couple of young girls had their violins with them as passing by, and a rather sort of beautiful encounter happened. And this is the sort of interaction which is the product of many centuries of European culture. And it's a bit of a long clip, but it's so enjoyable. I thought it was worth playing in full. So a little bit of background here.
Girl, she looks a bit Asian.
Partially. I mean, the other one doesn't so much, and the mother looks a bit, I don't know. It doesn't matter whether they're slightly Asian or not.
The point is,
I mean, the piece of music they're going to play is Vivaldi Winter from the Four Seasons, so written around 1720, and of course the Four Seasons they are supposed to engender a feeling of that season. So this one is going to be the winter movement, so you get this sort of fast pacey choppy violin bits which are supposed to represent, you know, sharp changing winds, sudden dynamic shifts, unpredictable winds. Was that
biting cold snow?
Yes, exactly, all that kind of stuff, and descending violin runs to give you the effect of gushing wind slicing. But just look at this, and just think about the centuries of European culture that culminated in a chance encounter like this. Play this for us, Jack.
Can you play Winter?
Yes.
Can I play with you?
You want to play with me? Okay, like both of you?
Yes.
Okay, sure, let's try. Ready?
Pause it there, but you get the idea. This is...
You almost listened to the whole bloody thing then. You might as well have finished it off.
Well,
That is very, very impressive of those two young girls. I have been trying to learn that piece on guitar for a little while. It's absurdly difficult.
It is apparently
playing the violin as well.
Yeah.
Yes. Very difficult instrument to play because it's not like guitar, like you or I might play, where you can actually see what you're doing. You've got to, you sort of, to keep the violin under your chin, you kind of have to not look at your fingers, which makes it a lot harder when you've got to learn something. And for girls as young as 11 and 8, that's amazing.
Yeah. But I mean, everything about that. I mean, the fact that you've got airplanes taking off in the first place, you've got a high trust society, you've got the craftsmanship of the piano, the piece of music itself. I mean,
it's, violins.
It's
dedication to perfection that allows young children to get to that level of technical mastery as well.
It's an example of, you know, many things that have worked in order to bring this together. So I think that's quite remarkable, and it got me thinking. Look, there's a lot more to European culture. I mean, that in itself is remarkable.
I will have to sadly say that I always feel when I see videos like that they are highly staged.
Possible, but
someone's going to be saying it in the audience, and I just have to say that I agree with you. I mean, all the camera angles.
Wow.
But also, they did still play it.
No, that doesn't take away from how impressive it is.
Let's just believe, because we want to. Many examples of remarkable European culture, and I'm just going to pick out. I won't be able to come anywhere close to doing justice to European culture in a 20-minute segment. But you know, here's a thread looking at marble sculptures. So that image you're seeing there, the hand in the net, that is marble.
That is the culmination of a lifetime of experience. There, isn't it? It's just what is made possible by European economies is that you can dedicate yourself to your craft for the entirety of your life and become a master.
Well, I mean, often these masters could be in their 20s for some of these things.
Well, yeah, that's, well, yeah,
they've been training since they were quite young.
I was waiting for you to say something like, he was 16 when he sculpted this.
They start very young.
In this one, the angel
oftentimes wings. These kinds of artists would not necessarily be making money from this. They'd be like sponsored by a patron, an aristocratic benefactor.
This is what is possible once you get rid of child labor laws.
Yes, in this one,
that's one takeaway.
In this one, the angel's wings are so thin that they glow when the sun crosses through.
That's very impressive. I've not seen that before.
Another very...
This is a very famous one where you can see how the skin creases underneath his hand.
I mean, the skull and etc. This is an old one. This is a 2,300-year-old Greek statue.
Blimey. That's very impressive. It's a work in bronze as well. I'm no expert, but I can imagine that's not easy in the... You know, I imagine that would be...
I mean, I find marble very impressive because, of course, all of this sculpture was... And that sort of silk handkerchief, all of this sculpture was already there. He just removed the unnecessary parts. But making sure you remove precisely that to end up with that level of workmanship.
You make one mistake
and the whole bloody thing's ruined.
But Dan, I've been told that culture is people being rude, noisy, and uncouth in the streets.
We're doing European culture in this segment.
And eating various disgusting slop foods from corner shops.
No blackpilling.
As far as I've been told by most people throughout my life, this isn't culture, this is nothing.
This is evidently culture. Look at that.
Yeah, clearly.
Marble.
The fact that you
fabric
can see, go back, go back up to the marble fabric one there.
Yeah,
go back up. The fact that it's giving an illusion of transparency, where you can see the contour of the leg.
Yes.
Behind it, that is magnificent.
Oh. There is more culture in that one image than the entirety of the south of the equator. I would dare to say.
Hey. Argentina's all right.
That's another.
And Australia. And that,
if you like the illusion of transparency in marble, look at that.
That's very impressive. I've seen it before, but it's...
Tremendously impressive. Same there. Many great examples. Let me get to the tiny muscle in one of Michelangelo's statues. Here we go.
So look.
So what's that? This is the...
That's part of the forearm musculature.
So it's like a tiny tensor muscle in the forearm.
That only contracts when lifting the pinky, and you can see his hand seems to be lifting the pinky a bit there. So you're paying enough attention to detail to know to include that, judging on the position of the hand and the fingers on it.
So as we're talking about European culture, it is the little finger.
Yeah. I mean, sorry. I was reading from the thing.
I know you were.
That is on Michelangelo's Moses there. So, I mean, that is a tiny detail of a huge piece of work. And he got that tiny detail in that forearm. I mean, this is what the European peoples have produced. Now,
very Italian heavy so far, isn't it?
So far it has been.
I've also been told Italians aren't white, which is not something I agree with.
Of course they are.
Now, Michelangelo died, of course, in 1564, so he's unable to order a copy of The Islander, but I'm sure he would have done because he has the sort of aesthetic appreciation necessary for enjoying The Islander. We get no money whatsoever from YouTube because they don't like us, because we're too based. However, you can support us by buying The Islander magazine. You'll notice that this edition features a beautiful cathedral on the front. Now, funnily enough, that was going to be my next set of points. Let's have a look at some cathedrals. So this is the Cologne Cathedral in 1880.
Not in 1880.
It was built in 1880.
Yes.
Dan managed to find this incredible photograph.
They had helicopters.
Taken from a helicopter. The Europeans, the man that
we
made
were better than we give ourselves credit for. Yeah.
This is the Christ Cathedral in Albania.
So that's what all that drug money is going to.
Yeah, well, they've got to afford those Mercedes.
Still somewhere. A nice structure. This one is nice. Yeah. This is
Andorra. They've got a very distinct architectural style. Whenever they come up on GeoGuessr, I know it's Andorra just because of their architecture.
Andorra's the tiny city state in Spain, isn't it?
Well, it's sort of a micro state.
Yeah, micro state.
Wouldn't even say there's a city.
Yeah, because I've been there before, and it is you have to travel through hours of mountains to get there.
Mm-hmm. Very nice.
Yeah, it's lovely.
Many fine examples. Belgium, the Cathedral of Our Lady Antwerp, 1521. If you do want to,
was that finished in 1521?
Finished in 1521. Yeah, I'm sure it wasn't knocked up in a year, but
well, yeah, obviously.
Yes. If we are going to allow ourselves just a little bit of black pilling in this segment, I mean, just ask, if we are going to take people from other places, what were they doing in 1521?
Not much.
Bosnia and Herzegovina. There you go. I'm really spreading it around cathedrals. They're all over the place. But
In my local town, there is a. There's like a miniature cathedral, the local church, that was put together. Well, it was originally started 700 years ago, was finished 600 years ago. Mm. So that's been around since the 15th century. And it's magnificent on the inside.
1912.
One thing we have done very well is look after our churches in Britain. It's one of the things that continentals say about the British is that we really care about the preservation of our history more so than most, which is, yeah. I think...
Oh, thank goodness we're not in France. I mean, the amount of churches going up in fire there. Oh, no blackpilling, sorry. Positive only. 1535, a cathedral in Croatia there. Ooh. What's this one? Cyprus.
Getting a bit out into the frontiers there.
It's still beautiful, though, isn't it?
It is, yeah. It's got its own distinct style.
I the white stone.
Is Cyprus still Europe? I think so.
I would say so. Yeah. It's pretty close to Syria, though, isn't it?
Yes.
And the Turks.
9th to 19th century, so the builders were really dragging their feet on that one.
10 centuries to build it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, let's be honest. There were probably a lot of invasions and wars holding them up over there.
Yes. Yes. What do we got here? Czech. Oh, I've been to this one.
I've been to this Czech one as well. I've got a picture of myself under it, and it's beautiful.
Prague.
Yeah.
It looks lovely.
Prague is a remarkable city.
It is. It's one of the nicest places I've ever been, and I've been to quite a few places in Europe.
Mm.
So that's saying something.
One wonderful aesthetic to it. What have we got? Oh, Denmark. Denmark are getting in on the action. Another distinct style there.
Very pointy.
Yes.
I like that. Snow? Don't get snow on your roof if it's very pointy.
That's true. True. Very, very, very snow resistant shape is pointiness. What have we got here? Estonia. Tallinn.
Tallinn is another one of those beautiful places. It's on pretty close to the top of my list of places I want to go to because I've seen lots of pictures and it looks gorgeous.
Again, with its own distinct
I'm assuming
style.
that's an Orthodox church.
Yeah. It's
yeah, yeah. It's got that Orthodox style.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
Bit of Finland. Decent enough style, I suppose. Not the one I would have gone for.
It looks like if someone made the US Congress building or the White House a lot more Orthodox Christian.
Yes.
Yeah. See, playing Dark Souls has conditioned me to feel that inside each of these cathedrals is a twin blade wielding boss battle waiting for me.
That's how the Japanese get you.
Like, I'll walk through and the priest will be stood there with a sword in each hand, music will begin blaring, and I will be in danger.
Oh, I like that. Greece, the Monastery of the Holy Trinity, in 1476, some poor sod had to climb the side of that thing to build everything you saw there.
Some people had to lug stones all the way up there for probably centuries to get all of that built.
But again, the product of European civilization. There's Budapest. And there's so many remarkable examples. That's a bit like the front of the Islander, isn't it? This one, whatever that is. Iceland.
It's in Reykjavik.
Do either of you want to give a go pronouncing the name of that one?
Hallgrímskirkja, I think.
Harry, we're about equivalently Viking, aren't we?
Yeah, you wouldn't be able to tell just looking at us, would you?
Hallgrímskirkja.
Yeah, I think that might be it. Icelandic people watching this, if you are watching this, feel free to punch me next time.
I've listened to enough Bjork that maybe I've imbibed some.
Ireland's done themselves proud with that one.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Ireland's got loads of beautiful
St. Finbarrett's Cathedral, Cork.
Also, cathedrals always look amazing in the snow, don't they?
Mm. Yes.
That's a classic, isn't it?
Back to Italy again.
All of Florence is just beautiful, isn't it? At least...
Remarkable.
A lot of the...
Latvia... what is this one?
Liechtenstein.
The point is that Europe has done itself proud on not only sort of music but architecture as well. Now, naturally, what happens is when you decide to import Europeans, people who put together remarkable architecture like this, you tend to end up with stuff like this. So this is what is it? This is
New York Old Penn Station. No, this story makes me sad.
It is, yes. So this is the New York Penn Underground Station that was built. And look at that. That is up there with the cathedrals. That vast...
I'm trying to think of what films that's been in, because I've seen it in a few films. I didn't realise it closed down.
I think
it was only open 50 years.
Yeah, was really? I think it's in The Untouchables, isn't it?
I don't know.
The one about tracking down Al Pacino... Not Al Pacino. Al Capone.
Yes. But I mean, look at that. I mean, that you import Europeans and you get European level architecture. And it's just a crying shame that they decided to replace it with some boxy utilitarian communist.
Go on, break it to me. Show me what they replaced it with.
Oh, I didn't feature that.
No, that's the Penn Station building nearing completion in 1904.
Oh, right, okay.
There you go.
That was the original exterior.
Putting it together, but... Oh, that was one of the dining rooms off to the side.
You told me that was Paris, I believe you.
Yep.
Got that sort of...
So, look, I'm just...
Americans who accuse us of hating America, we don't hate America or Americans. We are sad of what's happened, the same as the way we're sad at what's happened over here as well.
Oh, somebody in the comments is saying it's Chicago. Okay, well, it's either New York or Chicago. I don't bloody know. But anyway, the point.
Oh, in some area of Pennsylvania Station, circa 1911.
Right.
Museum of the City of New York.
Okay. Well, the point is that immigration isn't automatically bad, because look, if you import Europeans, you get this. Which
Native Americans weren't exactly building that, were they?
No. Philosophy. Should we dip into that?
Carl?
I haven't got anything to show you on screen, but I just thought I'd pick out a few bits that spoke to me. So, Heidegger, German chap, in Time and Being wrote, "Man acts as though he were the shaper and master of language, while in fact language remains the master of man." The conduit through which you communicate ideas end up moulding those ideas through the medium of which you communicate them. So language necessarily twists the idea that
passes. It's a good way of dressing up the chicken or egg to sound very intellectual.
It does explain Germans, though.
It does. Yeah, I'm getting something different from it, because what I'm getting from that is that it's why your intuition is less corrupted than thoughts that you can perhaps articulate. Essentially,
your
what
intuition
I'm getting at
is more authentically yourself, because it can't be interfered with by language.
Yes, I mean, what I'm sort of going with is that maybe there's something to visceral stereotypes.
Well, that's definitely true.
Yes.
We did a Contemplations on that, didn't we?
We did indeed.
Yeah, you should watch it. Whichever one it is, you can find it. I believe in you.
Immanuel Kant, Prussian, which is...
Another German.
Almost a German. Possibly a something
they don't know ancient Greeks here?
Oh, well, I think I've got some coming up. Kant, Critique of Reason. Enlightenment is man's emergence from self-imposed immaturity. Immaturity is the inability to use one's understanding without guidance from another. This immaturity is self-imposed when it causes lies not in lack of understanding but lack of resolve and courage to use it without guidance from another. Dare to know. So basically think for yourself, chaps. What are you saying there?
No. Help me.
No.
Tell me what to think, Dan.
Don't rely on what you...
You're old and you've got grey in your hair. You must know better than I do.
Tell me what to do. Well, read some Kant, you can't. So. literature. Should we go on to literature?
Yeah, go on.
Don Quixote, this one, I think, speaks to our modern time. An extract from that. When life itself seems lunatic, who knows where the madness lies? Perhaps to be impractical is madness. To surrender dreams, this may be madness. Too much sanity may be madness, and maddest of all, to see life as it is and not as it should be.
You absolutely butchered parts of that.
I'm very ill. I've got my Lucas Aiden. But it speaks to our modern condition that, you know, to accept the world as it currently is absolute madness.
Certainly, I agree.
Would you like me to read the next one to save your voice?
I know. Yes, go on then, because I'm flagging here.
This one is from Dostoevsky, from Crime and Punishment, which is, of course, 1866, and in Russia. Pain and suffering are always inevitable for a large intelligence and a deep heart. The really great men must have great sadness on earth. Sorry, you can read the next one, Harry.
All right, shall I read from Hamlet?
You give us Hamlet, then.
Hamlet, 1600, which Dan has labelled the ultimate tragedy of existentialism, and I've really set myself up now, so I can't I can't get a single word wrong.
You've also got Shakespeare to read.
I do.
As well.
To be or not to be, that is the question. Whether it is nobler in the mind to suffer the slings and arrows of outrageous fortune, or to take arms against a sea of troubles and by opposing, end them.
This makes me think of Conor McGregor, Ireland, because that's the situation he's in at the moment, isn't it? Because it's to be or not to be is basically saying, you know, how much shit are you going to take? You know, are you just going to suffer it? Are you going to be there's a follow on line that comes after this. Thus, conscience does make cowards of us all. You know, basically, how much shit are you going to take before you get involved, before you take arms against the sea of troubles? I'm not fed posting there. I'm metaphorical arms.
A lot of this seems to be wrapping back around to your idea of intuition and gut instinct guiding people.
Well,
conscience makes cowards of us all. Don't hesitate.
Yes.
Don't allow yourself to be intellectualized out of taking action.
Yes. Because European culture is worth defending. Yeah, there is a consistent logic that were I slightly better, then I might be able to communicate more effectively. Listen to a little bit of science while we're skimming through some of the European achievements. Heliocentrism, put that on there. Copernicus, 1543, the awareness that sun and not the earth is the centre of the solar system.
Not necessarily well received at the time, but we warmed up to it, didn't we?
We did indeed. I, to be honest, I'm not entirely sure if I agree with this one myself, because...
What?
Well, because the centre is an arbitrary concept. Now I've read the Kant, and I'm thinking for myself, you can designate any point you like as the centre of the solar system. It's just that the orbital maths are considerably easier if you pick the sun.
And you don't need to be so uncharitable to yourself. You've always been a free thinker.
Yes. Germ theory, Pasteur and cock, is that how you pronounce it? France and Germany, 1860s. You know, he figured out that that germs are a thing. Mm-hmm. He could have simply spent a week in the Lotus Eater's office and he would have figured that out, but they got to it through whatever method.
That is one of those ones where that changed the quality of human existence more than pretty much any one discovery.
Yes, it's definitely up there. I mean, as with all of this, I mean, there's so many monumental European achievements that I'm going to get criticism in the comments, no matter what I leave out. The structure of DNA, Watson and Crick, one of them was very based, I seem to remember. The discovery of the double helix structure of DNA
from the '50s. So
yes, and I feel that I need to make. And what have I included? I've included a bit of philosophy, a bit of opera and classical performance. I've included a little bit of architecture, and I've left out mythology, folklore, theatre, drama, cinema, fashion, leather working, manuscripts, calligraphy, cuisine, wine, spirits, chocolate and confectionery, like Belgium chocolates and Venetian pastries. I've left out universities and scholarships, religions and mystic tradition, festivals and seasonal celebrations. I've left out navigation and cartography. There's a hell of a lot that I've had to leave out while celebrating European culture. Because
you're talking about the best continent to ever exist on planet Earth.
Well, quite.
And I'm not saying that to insult the North Americans. You're a product of our culture and therefore an yes. extension of it. All of the continents, Australia and New Zealand as well.
And a lot of the South Americans are also a product of us through one way or another.
That's true.
Or at least not us, the Portuguese mainly.
Yes.
And the Spanish.
And Germans.
And you do have to make this point, because this is standard thinking on the left. I've quoted here a bit of the Owen of the Jones, who says the single biggest cause of violence in human history is the belief of Western Europeans and their descendants in their own superiority. And Europeans actually are superior. It's just self-evidently true.
Well, there's a reason that all of the people everywhere in the world are moving to countries founded by Europeans or are European themselves. You know,
yes.
You're not getting lots of people moving to India or Africa or
yes.
any of the other countries.
Well, and when I say that that Europe is superior, because it is, you know, I'm not trying to take away any of the sort of tremendous value that you could accrue to other civilizations, you know, Japan, to pick one random example.
The ancient Chinese were pretty good.
Yes, I mean there is
kind of tapered off in recent years, but
there is plenty of value to be had in other cultures. I'm simply making the point that Owen Jones is being a complete tit here, because of course there is much to celebrate about Europe, and Europe evidently is superior.
Yeah, the Mongol invasion of Japan was because of the belief of Western Europeans in their superiority.
Exactly.
How? It's because the Mongols were running away from the racist whitey.
On all that steppe land that they were so trapped in.
Yep.
That's the thing about the steppe.
They got closer and closer west. They got over to Hungary and then they ran away. He said, all of these white people are far too bigoted for me.
They don't like it when we raid their land and plunder their cities.
No, that was very bigoted of us.
So a sweeping arc through European culture there, a very quick one. Rather than simply mention European culture, I have to give a quick call out to the European people themselves, and I'm going to give you an example of quite exquisite peak German engineering. I don't want any back check from Harry during this one, but can we play this? Don't play that one, play the other one. Right, so for those of you who are listening, this
about
is
the music idea.
This is not European music being played.
This is a testament to precision. This is elegant, sleek flowing lines that provide a harmonious blend of form and function, with a presence, grace and poise that belies sheer capability, a fluid grace, engineering for optimal and efficient performance.
I feel like I've just walked in on Grandad watching the gymnastics.
So those of you who are listening may not have fully appreciated that last bit, but peak German engineering. So well done to the Europeans, and you've created a tremendous culture.
All right, let's go through the rest of the Rumble rants and then get through the video comments, eh?
I've already seen that video, by the way, so that's why I didn't say much.
Josh likes that video. He watches it often in the office.
That was a horrible noise.
That was a horrible noise. So, you want to read through yours?
For a brief second, I got the music from Scream, didn't I?
Basically, the next...
Psycho is what you're on about. That's there. What...
The next five comments are all from the engaged few, so I won't read out the name every time. Inside Owens Jones' skull, there are four brain cells fighting for fifth place. It's amazing what the people of Prague could accomplish when they took time out from starting wars, tossing people out windows. Oh, did they do that in Prague? Oh, I don't know. And Sisyphus got the rock up the hill.
Sisyphus.
Got the rock.
Not syphilis. You've not got syphilis.
Got the rock up the hill this time. Go figure. And whenever I see one of those impromptu Vivaldi recitals, I can't help but think about the totally not racist person of colour who assures us on TikTok that white people don't have a culture. Yes, I mean, obviously, we do. He also says, and now Dan has changed his name to...
Sisyphus.
You know
what Sisyphus is, right?
Was he the guy with the rock?
Yeah, yes. Pushing the boulder up the
He
mountain.
Was the one who was inspired the meme about GDP per capita.
He was the one who inspired Fred Durst.
What? You're going to have to help me with that one. Yeah.
I'm just going to leave it there.
I'm so confused. All right.
Right.
I've got a mouse now, and my laptop ran out of battery.
I have no mouse, and I must read comments.
Yeah, I must.
Have we got some video comments?
Oh, yeah, we've got video comments, don't we, Jack? No, we do not. Nobody likes us anymore. It's so over.
We deserve it.
All right. So Thomas Howell says, it's hard to imagine that all that needs to stop this is to eliminate the bureaucratic state first and the rest is easy. Cut the top three layers of the civil service completely. Bring in Bulldoge, British unionizing liability limited Doge, and watch immigration, healthcare, and similar fix. I think there's a lot more needs fixing than just the bureaucracy. A lot of the problems the bureaucracy have created need solving as well, which is one of the other unimaginable cruelties that they've forced upon us, because it won't
be
nice.
The only way we can save the British system is if we abolished everything and just started anew, put a sword in the middle of a coliseum and just said, fight, and whoever the last man is our ruler.
Can't we just put a sword in a stone?
And that's more traditional.
And whoever can pull the sword out gets to rule us.
Well, after all of your strength training, you're really rigging the game in your favour.
No, it's going to be Eddie Hall. It's going to be Eddie Hall.
Eddie Hall dictatorship.
I'm up for it. He seems like a good chap. Lord Nerevar, the civil service is an exercise in industrialised complacency. They're so secure that they'll never have to face any accountability that they can do literally nothing and be financially secure forevermore. Axe. Yes. Kill it. Metaphorically. Kevin Fox, so unskilled care workers get a visa for as long as 5 years, and they wanted to expand it to 10 years, yeah. I'm working as a qualified teacher in Asia, and I have to renew my visa and work permit every year. If the UK brought that in, it would reduce the number of third world care assistants turning up. The government website also says that applicants have a B1 level English to get a visa. So the testing doesn't teach the difference between bleeding and breathing, eh? Yeah, that's what I was thinking during parts of that, especially the Rumble rant we got. I remember. Do you remember it? The care home where some of the workers accidentally let an old person fall down the stairlift.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And when they rang up the nurse, I think, they rang up the hospital, and I think it was that the nurse couldn't understand if they were saying breathing or bleeding.
Pretty critical thing to understand.
Yeah, I've forgotten exactly if it was the fault of the nurse for not understanding English or the actual people in the care home for not knowing how to speak English. It's probably all of it.
If they say they've stopped bleeding, that's a good thing. But if they stop breathing, that's a bad thing. That's the extent of the medical training they get in sub-Saharan Africa, I think.
I can tell why you were not a doctor.
I am first aid trained, though.
There you go. Arizona Desert Rack. I'm confused. How did a butcher afford hundreds of visas? My parents helped sponsor my sister-in-law, and they could barely afford helping her out. I suppose it was just a very successful legal butchers only engaged in legal activities, which is why they needed an enormous network of 918 other butchers to run their business properly.
There's a lot of sheep to rustle in Britain, aren't there?
Yes. Have you,
there's actually been a spate.
A lot of snow to shovel as well.
There's actually been a spate of sheep rustling from mysterious big vans that travel from far away and scoop up all the sheep and drive back to Birmingham.
I can't tell
who is doing it.
Kevin Fox, I really do think that we should go back to old-fashioned just death penalty for cattle rustling.
I think the death penalty should be in place for a lot of things.
It should be quite liberally used, yes. Kevin Fox, the migrants taking care jobs is also taking jobs from mothers whose kids are in full-time schooling. These were jobs that could be tailored around school hours. Excellent point. Steve Stevens, also you should watch Adolescence for no other reason than seeing how telling the writing is on certain topics. Episode 2 more specifically, no.
You should watch it.
No.
You watch it.
No. So that we Eloise says, it kind of seems like it's only toxic masculinity when a white guy wants to enact his sexuality or is a bit more brash. Yeah, I think you've unlocked the secret there.
Mm-hmm.
Josh, go through some of yours.
A somewhere person says, how to spot a fake conservative? Are they on mainstream telly? In brackets, not just the controlled opposition channels like GB News. Do they regularly get invited back? If yes, they're at best controlled opposition, but most likely fake. Which is true, yes.
Yeah, seems fair to me.
Russian Garbage Human says, that school bit. I went to such an inner city school where I was the only white kid in my class in a brand new state-of-the-art £50 million school. For every lesson, we only had maybe 7 to 10 minutes of actual work due to endless disruption, fights and chaos. For certain demographics, her school is the only way to make them learn. Dan is right. You haven't been to such schools, you've no idea how bad it gets. Yes, because I went to a... In fact, there was like one black person in the entire school year, and they got bullied relentlessly.
I can completely understand what you and Dan are saying, which is that with these kinds of demographics, yeah, you need ridiculously strict schools. What I'm saying is there are different ways to never need these schools in this country again, because I don't
not having them in the
I don't like place. The fact that there are schools that have to operate like that in this country.
It's very un-English, isn't it?
One wolf is saying, well, that is how we are, so that's how schools have to be. And the other wolf is saying, well, why don't we just deport everybody?
Why don't we just re-migrate them?
And the second wolf is much more based in Chad.
Send them home again.
Yes.
Michael Drybelbis says, gentle parenting produces happier kids. Bugger that, real parenting produces successful kids that contribute to humanity and society. Gentle parenting is why the Western world continues to slouch towards oblivion. Very true. And then I'll read one more from Sophie Liv. Oh man, this lady. I saw her on Trigger Normies and she was so praised for her
tactics,
and I kept thinking it's so weird. She's submitting to the foreigners all the time. She is one. They don't want pork, so everybody has to eat vegetarian. What?
Pescatarian. So you get a lovely serving of fish every day.
Mm-hmm.
And you
mostly vegetables, though.
Yeah, and you choose not to kill yourself.
Although I do like the banning of prayer rooms at schools. You are here to study. Mm-hmm.
No, no,
it might
upset
some Americans.
It's not banning of prayer rooms. It's not allowing them to pray separately.
Yes.
From the other children.
Mm-hmm. So they're still allowed to pray, but they're just not allowed to do it in a room full of their religious kin, I suppose. Take us away, Dan.
Lady Dragonhawk says, thank you for the white pill segment about culture. It made my chest hurt, but in a good way. And that is the very first time that Lady Dragonhawk has ever said anything nice to me, so I appreciate that very much. Russian Garbage Human says, I cannot overstate how much I loved that music clip. Yes, it was. It was wonderful, wasn't it? A somewhere person says, one of the greatest aspects of older cathedrals is some of them still took multiple lifetimes to finish. Imagine in medieval times starting to build something that maybe your great-grandchildren would see finished in their old age. Yes, quite a...
How long did the massive cathedral in Barcelona take to finish? I think that was centuries, wasn't it?
Still not finished.
Oh, yeah, it is.
Societies grow great when they build cathedrals whose... pews they will never sit. I don't know. It doesn't quite work, does it?
It's close enough. It made sense
to me.
Yeah.
Roman Observer says, in 2018, the European Commissioner for Budget, Gunther Oettinger, said, when we elect an anti-EU government, the markets will teach Italians to vote the right way. I guess for the post-Brexit UK, it goes mass migration will teach Britons to vote the right way. Yes. Russian garbage says, I've listened to Vivaldi for maybe over 100 hours in my headphones, and I've been about to a dozen Vivaldi concerts up and down Britain. That clip nearly made me tear up in the office. I'm not musically qualified, but I've heard these pieces so many times I can hear any perfection as well. For kids, this was a marvellous rendition.
It
I couldn't believe how they hit the notes and how much they follow the dynamics of the piece. Truly marvellous. Europe is worth saving, else land of rouse.
That's one thing about classical music, is that the reason that it still has legs is that it's so intricate that you can inject enough of your own playing style and your own emotion into it that you can make it your own, and it's still recognizable. It's sort of similar to the folk tradition, isn't it, that there's an original piece but you can make it your own, and it's still a continuity without breaking the sort of chain of being, but you still have to express yourself as well. It's got the best of
playing,
all worlds.
Speaking of playing style, North FC Zuma says, Michelangelo was 23 when he sculpted the Pieta. Here's me painting Warhammer. So you can bring your play style.
I'm sure you're doing a great job.
You can bring your play style to Warhammer, if not Vivaldi.
To be fair, I've seen Warhammer painters and they're very impressive. I'm surprised at how good the average Warhammer painter is. Yes. If I were to do it, it'd look like a child that was also blind had done
it. I'm terrible, that's why I stopped.
Never tried.
Also, that mixture, once you've finished painting, the thing that you put over it to add the finishing touches really does a lot of the heavy lifting. Really does a lot of the work for you.
If you get a big huff of it, you feel all funny.
So connoisseur, I see.
From Vivaldi cathedrals to Warhammer to sniffing glue. Well done, Josh. Thank you for the tone lift. Final thing, someone online says, Britain is worth saving, the US is worth saving, Europe, on the other hand, is where the cancer of communism is cultivated and metastasized.
I disagree with this completely. Europe is one of the bulwarks, well, was one of the bulwarks against communism until the US and the Soviets decided to pincer movement the whole thing alongside the British to infect all of Eastern Europe with communism. The French are a little bit mad and we don't take them seriously, and they did that whole French Revolution thing, but they were not communists. Mm-hmm. And they still are not communists. They're just a little bit weird.
Socialist.
All
of their parties are just... It's just like, which flavour of culture do you want with your socialism?
I'd prefer a right-wing culture with my socialism, thank you.
Me too.
There you go. If I'm going to have to choose between flavours of socialism, you know, the one that doesn't hate me in my history.
So a national one, though.
And let's not say that. I knew that you were going to do that, Dan. No, I never said that.
You did leave yourself a tiny bit open.
I am a British liberal imperialist from the mid-19th century.
Okay.
I should be subjugating minorities in the subcontinent right now. That's my...
good save.
Yeah, putting
your hat out for Viceroy of India, then.
Absolutely.
Yep.
Absolutely. Who's going to stop me?
No, I'd recommend you for the post.
Thank you very much, Dan.
Diarrhea will stop you.
And on that note, I think that's where we should stop before it goes a little bit too far now. Thank you very much for watching. Thank you from Josh, and thank you from Dan, who might not make it till the end of the day, so everybody wish him good luck in the comments.
Join him while he's still here.
Yes.
Yeah.
Getting
and,
old.
Take care. We'll see you tomorrow.
At Ability Chiropractic, we believe every child deserves to grow up healthy, strong, and connected to the incredible power within their own body. From infants to adults, our doctors specialize in purposeful chiropractic care that restores balance between the brain and body, helping you and your family live and heal the way you were designed to, naturally. Families across Columbus are choosing to build lifelong wellness from the start. Discover what true health feels like at Ability Chiropractic. Schedule your visit today at abilitychiro.com.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com.
Test your luck in the shadowy world of the Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play the Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus terms and conditions apply.
Hey, football fans. Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2 times the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8-6-25 and 1-5-26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc. See.